Welcome to the beginning of the super terrific happy hour.
Super terrific
happy hour.
Happy hour.
A bunch of us are talking about happy hour.
Yes, welcome to episode 78 of Super Terrific Happy Hour. My name is Matt Neal. I'm the music writer here at the Warrnambool Standard, and I'm joined by fellow journalist and fellow musician, Jono Peck.
Ooh, I'm a musician this week.
Well, you have been known to music.
yeah, a multi-instrumentalist.
Yes, I'd say you're even more multi-instrumental than I am, I think. Yeah. You're certainly better at all the instruments than I am.
Well, it remains to be seen.
So, first a little announcement.
This big one. Shocker. Sit down. Make sure you're sitting.
Sit down, get a cup of tea, make sure you're ready for this, strap in. Potentially, this is our last podcast.
Maybe.
We do intend to do two more, barring the arrival of my firstborn, because that could be any day. But we hope to do two more podcasts before that happens.
Well, maybe I'll just do them by myself.
Maybe.
It won't be very fun.
Yeah, well, thoughts crossed my mind doing them by myself. Because you're going.
I'm leaving. I'm finishing here at the Standard after 5 years and moving to greener pastures.
It's the end of a great tech legacy
it
at
is,
the Standard.
Yeah.
I had seriously contemplated continuing on, but it's just not going to be the same. So
no, you'll feel a little silly sitting here in this room by yourself.
Or roping in some poor schlub from the desks to help fill the void.
And I'm the man behind the podcast.
It was your idea.
It's the magic of producing.
That's it. So this is episode 78. We hope to get to episode 80.
Yeah.
Barring births, then we will get
to episode
80.
There.
But just in case, we might not.
Tell her to hold it in for a couple of weeks.
Because she wants to wait until after the tennis is.
Okay. Well, then she's on our side.
Yeah. So she's down.
Yeah.
So
this week,
what are we doing?
We have a special episode.
They're all special. But okay, so a little while ago, we stole an idea. Mm-hmm. We followed on from Bill Simmons's brilliant Action Star Championship Belt podcast.
We did the Championship Belt of comedy, and we're now ripping that off.
Yeah, we're ripping ourselves off, ripping off someone else now.
And we're going to do the David Bowie commemorative World Championship of Pop Music.
Yes, something
like that. Or Pop Star Championship.
Pop Star World Championship.
Yeah.
So we're going to... We've picked an arbitrary starting date, and we're going to award the title belt to the winners of each year, basically.
Yeah.
Who is the pop star of those years? We're going from 1983 until present day.
Mm.
That year has been picked because Thriller came out very, very end of 82, so it was the album of 83, basically. But that remains the benchmark of album sales of pop impact. So we picked that year to start with. Shall I?
Do we want to make any general comments about our own pop music tastes?
sure, go for it.
Well, I'm more of a rock guy, I have to disclaim.
Yeah, but as am I.
Yes, and I thought that would be the case. So,
but pop is not a dirty word.
It kind of makes it us good for this because we're not so entrenched in it that we're up one tree or another, if that's a phrase.
Yeah.
But we are distant enough to say this was the year that person took everything over because I remember or I so was part of that.
We're claiming some objectivity.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to if we're doing the bands of each year, it would be just totally slewed towards our own musical taste probably.
And that's the thing about pop is it's popular. So everyone...
Is that what it stands for?
It is. Yeah. So everyone knows that, Justin Bieber's a pop star.
Yeah.
Even if they don't like him or know what his music sounds like.
Yes.
So...
Now, did you set any rules? Because we divvy this up. So I'm taking care of 1983 through to 1999 because I'm old. Uh-huh. And you're doing 2000 onwards.
We're not allowed to do groups.
Yes. Because you were starting to argue that...
I wanted Destiny's Child.
Well, you wanted Beyonce out of Destiny's Child, but you got to take the full package, and there can be only one.
Yeah,
it's like the Highlander.
yeah,
that's what we should call this—the Highlander of pop music. So yeah, we've discounted bands, boy band, whether they be boy bands, girl groups, whatever. It's got to be a solo artist. We've also, I've excluded rappers and country music stars.
Mm-hmm. I've done the same.
Rock is kind of borderline. There's, I mean, it hasn't really come into the equation, but there's a few people who were in contention that I had, that didn't get it, but ultimately could have, you could argue, could have taken it, and they're probably in the rock sphere.
Sure. I think you have to be able to call them a pop star.
Yes.
And then not be offended.
Yes. yeah, and not start too many arguments, but yeah. That description. Now, just to start off with, we are saying the David Bowie commemorative thing because he died on the weekend. It's very, very sad. I was shocked, for one, but I just wanted to say at the start that he is possibly... I know Michael Jackson is called the King of Pop.
That's where this came from.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
The title of this.
Because we were talking about doing this a while before Bowie died, but you know, we thought, I just wanted to recognize him in some way. But Bowie is one of those true pop icons in that he influenced art in so many different ways. And I don't think a lot of the people that we're going to name as the pop champions have influenced pop culture as much as someone like David Bowie. But I guess that's just some way of saying that what a pop star can be and what they are maybe has changed a little bit. But
yeah, I tweeted something. Everyone tweeted something when Bowie died.
Yeah.
But mine was essentially, I never got into Bowie, but I have an incredible respect for his influence on music, on art in general, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, fashion, film clips, film, you know, he dabbled in so many things that he ended up inevitably had an influence on them and an impact on them. And also, and this is what we were talking about the other day too, after Bowie died, was how much of the music we both love is directly influenced by Bowie. You know, there's so many bands that owe a great debt to Bowie, and there are bands that we have loved as we've been growing up. So
it's a big deal. It's scary because we didn't even know he was sick.
Yeah.
So who else is going to die this year? Well, like we've lost Lemmy.
We lost Stevie Wright. We lost Scott Weiland was one that I kind of wasn't surprised by, but hit me surprisingly hard when I went back and went through how many Stone Temple Pilots albums I had and how many songs I loved. So,
that was last year.
But
that anyway, 1983.
Let's start
with the King of Pop.
Yes. So, just coincidentally, this is the last year Bowie was probably a crack for this title because Let's Dance, his biggest album. The biggest album of his career came out in 1983. The title track was the fourth biggest song of the year worldwide in terms of sales, so that was a pretty big deal. But nothing could stop the juggernaut of Thriller, which held the number one position on the American charts for 22 weeks. It had 7 top 10 singles.
That's insane.
Out of like, I think it's only like 8 or I think there's only 9 songs on the album, but 7 of them were top 10 singles. It's crazy. It was number one in Australia for 11 weeks and he won 8 Grammys. So Michael Jackson, he is the king of pop in 1983. He's always the king of pop, but he gets the belt in 83 and he gets it in 84 as well because Thriller was still selling so much that it was still one of the biggest albums of the year. It was number one for a further 15 weeks in 84.
Yeah.
So just for 2 years running, that was the all-consuming album. Other contenders that might have taken it off him, I'll just run a few at you, see if there's anyone who's really in contention here. Purple Rain by Prince came out that year.
Mm.
It had a film that went with it, so that was kind of touching on to other films. And it was number one for 22 weeks in America. So that was kind of a big deal.
It's a very worthy number one contender.
Yeah. The biggest single of the year worldwide was George Michael's Careless Whisper.
I don't even know it.
Okay. is it the one that goes, and I'm never gonna dance again?
Yeah, maybe. For all I know. Da,
da, da, da. That's it. but the other one, and this is this flows into 85 as well. So Bruce Springsteen, we wouldn't really call him a pop star, would we?
I wouldn't.
He's kind of in the rock realm, but...
Will he punch you?
Is that the definition?
She said, hey, pop star.
If I said, hey, boss, I would argue that Born in the USA was your most pop album.
That doesn't make you a pop star.
But so I would say that from the years 84 through 85, you were, ergo, a pop star. And we sat down and discussed it rationally. He probably wouldn't punch me. But
okay.
Okay, we just talked about Thriller having so many singles.
Yeah.
Born in the USA had 7 top 10 singles as well.
Mm.
Like, that's a hell of a feat, and that's kind of says pop to me.
Top 10, wow.
The biggest single in Australia in 1984 was Dancing in the Dark. So he was kind of in contention to take it off MJ in 84 and again in 85, because Born in the USA was the biggest selling album of that year in America in 85. But Michael Jackson lost the title in 85, not to Bruce Springsteen, but I'm going to say he lost it to Madonna. The Material Girl. The song Material Girl was the 5th biggest single in the world. She had 5 songs in the Billboard end of year list in America. She had 3 singles in the Australian top 25 of the year. And her album, Like a Virgin, was on top of the US charts for 3 weeks. But it was more that she arrived as a fully formed... Well, yeah. She'd had singles before, but all of a sudden, this was an icon presented itself in 1 year. Just bang, here is Madonna, and she is a pop star. So the way she dressed, her film clips, the way she presented herself.
Yeah. And that's so much of what this is about. It's not necessarily how many albums or singles people have, but their persona and...
Yep.
Their influence on culture.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you could argue that, you know, Prince was still kicking around, had a big album that year. Phil Collins had one of the most successful albums of the year and had plenty of killer songs off the album No Jacket Required. And Whitney Houston was starting to lurk in the background as well. But Madonna is the queen of pop for 85. 86, Whitney Houston is the queen of pop.
What was the big track?
She had 2 massive singles that year. How Will I Know and Greatest Love of All were both in the Billboard Top 100 by the end of the year. But she had the biggest album of the year in America by a long stretch. It was number one for 14 weeks in America, number one in Australia for 11 weeks. And even though Madonna released an album that year, it just didn't have the massive boom impact. Here is a diva, here is a big star. She just couldn't quite hold on to it. So Whitney Houston gets the belt in 86. Side note, Australia Division Championship.
Yeah.
You're the Voice. John Farnham. That was starting to be a really big deal in 86, but going into 87 as well, where it was number one for 25 weeks.
Wow. I don't know about the rest of your years, but in my research, Australia's top, you know, top whatever, was always... vastly different to the overall. It was like half Australian artists. And I'm not sure if that's because of the Idol and X Factor.
Well, yeah, you're looking at the later, the more recent years when that is a thing. In the Australian charts through the 80s and 90s, there definitely was hints of Australian specific stuff. But what was weird is what Australia ignored from America. Okay. So some things like... So Whitney Houston keeps the title in 87, and as a good example, her second album, which was called Whitney, as opposed to the first album, which was called Whitney Houston, the Whitney album was at the top of the charts in America for 11 weeks. In Australia, it was only for 2 weeks, and you know, the big single from that was I Want to Dance with Somebody, and that did pretty well in Australia, but there was more singles that did better in America, you know, like there was more sort of ticking over. So she holds the title because of that. Her big contenders are, well, Michael Jackson released Bad, but just, I didn't think it was big enough to take the title from Whitney. Who
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. And Kylie Minogue released Locomotion, so that was an Australian thing, but yeah. So, okay, 1988, Whitney Houston's had the title for 2 years. Along comes George Michael. Are you with me here?
I'm with you.
The album was Faith.
Got to have faith.
So you know that one. You know that Kale's Whisper, you know that one. It was the biggest song of the year in America. It was top of the charts in America for... The album was top of the charts for 12 weeks. He had 5 singles in the Billboard end of year charts. It was massive. And in spite of... You know, even though Michael Jackson was still surging with Bad, George Michael had a bigger year than MJ. And Faith was such a ubiquitous song, and the film clip and everything that was so big, it just seemed like... It was the year of George Michael. Worth keeping in mind that Whitney Houston still had 3 songs in the Billboard Top 100 at that stage. It was also the year that the Rick Roll blew up.
Oh, yeah.
Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up was one of the biggest songs in the world in 1988.
Still holds up.
Does it?
Does.
All right.
Thanks to memes.
89 and 1990 sees Madonna return to the title, to the top of the polls. In 89, she releases Like a Prayer, which tops all the charts, releases a heap of big singles off it. It's just, it really dominates the year. And the following year, she puts out a best of called Immaculate Collection, which has the single Vogue on it, which again really spurs things along. It's around this time she starts releasing like the Sex Book, and starts appearing in more movies.
Mm.
She's a real pop culture force in 89 through 1990. And there's no one who gets really close to her. Bobby Brown in America was surprisingly big. I didn't realize how big, but he had 5 songs in the Billboard Top 100.
Wow, is that Whitney's man?
Yes.
Yeah.
And his album was the biggest selling album of 1989. Mm. Don't Be Cruel, it was called. I didn't even know that. If you had asked me the name of his album, I wouldn't have been able to say it. Go research. You ever heard of Debbie Gibson?
No. Sounds like someone we could work with very easily.
Debbie Gibson was a teen pop idol, very briefly, but had a couple of big singles and number one album in 1988. I only really know of her as like a punchline from a Bill Hicks.
Right.
So
she's like the Katie, Rebecca Black of 89.
Yeah, or more like the Nikki Webster.
Okay.
Of 89, I would say, yeah.
Nikki Webster.
In 89, it's worth mentioning.
I'm going to add Nikki Webster to my shout out.
Okay, cool.
For 2000.
So, the only other people. Also, Prince had a big album with the Batman soundtrack, which was number one for 6 weeks in America. Janet Jackson was a possibility to take the title off Madonna, but couldn't do it in either 89 or 90. And in 1990, Sinead O'Connor was a massive force. She had the third biggest song of the year with Nothing Compares to You. And she had the biggest album of the year in Australia. So there's that. I won't bother with the shout-outs. Well, actually, no, I have to mention someone who's rising through the ranks here is Mariah Carey, starts popping up in 1990.
Yeah.
She's the one who takes the crown in 1991.
She popped up a bit in mine as well. So she's had herself a career.
So she's crossed decades.
Mm. Well, she was popping up in the top 100 singles.
Oh, okay.
So, yep. You know, I guess she had has her fans still.
Well, she was a pretty big force in the 90s, and I'll get to that a little bit more, but in 1991 she takes the crown for the first time with her self-titled album, which spent 11 weeks at the top of the US charts and was the biggest selling album of 1991 in America.
Mm.
It was pretty big in Australia. It was the 6th biggest album here. She had 4 singles in the Billboard 100, and there was pretty much no stopping her. This is kind of a gap in my knowledge, though. I couldn't name any of the singles that she had that year without research. Her biggest song that year was apparently a song called Someday, and I have no idea how that goes.
I'm sure it's really catchy.
I'm sure it's a great song, as far as Mariah Carey songs go. The big contender that year, though, was Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
Everything I Do It For You, was the biggest selling single of the year in America and Australia.
Hmm.
So, there you go. Madonna was still kicking around. Janet Jackson was still kicking around. Paula Abdul was a force to be reckoned with at that stage, not big enough to take the title. And Michael Jackson put out Dangerous, but at the very end of the year. Which leads us to 1992, where Michael Jackson retakes the crown.
Finally. That was almost like 7 or 8 years.
He last had it in 84.
So what were the big hits?
Off
92.
Off Dangerous.
Yeah.
The big one was Black or White, and the other big single off that album was Remember the Time, which had a killer film clip that had just everyone in it.
Both those film clips had great cameos.
They did, yes.
Black and White had Macaulay Culkin.
Yes.
And did it have John Candy? It had the guy from Cheers.
Yeah, George Wendt.
Yeah. And then Remember the Time had
Magic Johnson.
And Eddie Murphy.
Yes. And who was the female lead in that?
Janet?
No, I don't think so. I want to say it's
Vanessa
like,
Williams or something.
I want to say it's Iman, David Bowie's wife, but I think
I don't know about that.
Anyway, so
tweet us.
Yes, let us know. fix our research.
We'll give you our handles at the end.
Now, what the funny thing about this is, though, this is the last time that Michael Jackson is really strongly culturally relevant.
Okay.
And it's almost giving him sort of that by default kind of. But I mean, well, not really. The album was a big. It had he had two songs in the top 20 of the Billboard Year Ender.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney Houston was still kicking along. She just released "I Will Always Love You," and the Bodyguard soundtrack came out at the very end of the year. So that was sort of nipping at MJ's heels. But he was being attacked from all sides here, and I'm not talking about his personal life either. The biggest artist of the year in America was Garth Brooks.
Oh my.
Who does not sell records in Australia. He is just a mystery, basically.
He's not a pop star either.
But he had two albums come out in 92 that held the top position for a total of 17 weeks.
There's a lot of people in Texas. Well, there's a lot of Southerners in America.
There are a lot of Southerners in Texas. But the biggest album of the year, believe it or not... the biggest album was a Garth Brooks album, but... The longest run at the top of the charts that year was Billy Ray Cyrus's album, which was number one for 17 weeks. Are you aware of the Billy Ray Cyrus phenomenon?
I know who he is.
So that's Miley's dad.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So he, come on. He had, please. Good, I'm just checking.
Achy breaky heart.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I thought that might have just been lost pop culture.
No. He's a big enough name.
Thank you. Probably heard us yelling.
Probably got sick of us.
Going through and doing this research, I like 92 because weird things start happening to the biggest selling albums charts and the number ones. Because the album that
the
bumps... The
Nirvana effect?
Yeah, that bumps Dangerous from number one is Nevermind.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Don't get too distracted, Matt.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay. I'm taking up way too much time on this, aren't I?
No, I'm just... It's easy. It's if Nirvana, we're going to start talking about them. Then,
oh, no, I'm just saying that there was a revolution.
We're going to fall down a rabbit hole.
Well, what happens from here, though, the ramification of that effect is that albums don't stay number one for as long.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's more... There's a greater diversity of albums that are taking the top spot.
Mm.
So, 93, it is the year of Whitney. She gets it back after losing the crown in 87. It's all on the strength of The Bodyguard, not only in the second biggest grossing film of the year, but the soundtrack to the film, which came out just at the tail end of 92, is the biggest selling album of the year around the world. The song... I Will Always Love You, the cover of the Dolly Parton song, is the biggest selling song of the year around the world. The Bodyguard soundtrack is at the top of the charts for 16 weeks. But in Australia, it's not the biggest song of the year. The biggest song of 1993 in Australia is Meatloaf's I Would Do Anything for Love. And this is one of those weird things where Australia latches onto something and America kind of doesn't really get it. Or vice versa.
Yeah.
That song, that Meatloaf song, barely scraped into the top 50 at the end, Billboard end of year chart.
That is fascinating. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, okay, good.
No, just the when something does better here than over there.
Yeah.
Like, fair enough if we miss some things, but for example, I Miss You is Blink-182's biggest song in Australia.
Yeah.
Like, biggest selling single.
Yeah, right.
Which I wouldn't have picked.
I really dig that song. And right. I would kind of just smooth over a whole bunch of other ones.
Yeah, but you imagine that wouldn't be in the top five of the worldwide or US.
I seem to remember that being selling. a big song. Mm. Not as big as, say, Damn It or Jersey or something like that. But
that's what I mean, like all the small things, you know.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Point made.
And what's my age again? You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, 93 is the year of Whitney. Mariah could have nearly retaken it then, because she actually had two albums come out that year. Music Box and a... start that again. She had one album come out at the very end of the year. She had a top 10 end of year single. Things were moving for her. Janet Jackson also bumped the Bodyguard album off the top of the charts. She was in contention for that year. But she never gets the crown, believe it or not. Now... 94, 95, 96 all belong to Mariah Carey. I'm giving her the crown 3 years running. She gets the belt 3 years running.
That's insane.
It's mostly on the strength of Music Box, which is the number one album at Christmas time in America the previous year. That album spends 72 weeks in the top 50 in Australia. 72 weeks. Including 18 weeks at number one. It is the biggest album of the year in Australia in 1994. She also has the number 11 album of the year with her Christmas album as well. So she's just killing it in Australia. Music Box spends 8 weeks at number one in America. The song Hero is the fifth biggest song of the year in Australia and the fourth biggest song of the year in America.
I don't think I know any of these Mariah Carey songs.
This song, that one is And When a Hero Comes Along. Okay, right. I know that one. That's the only one I know.
I'll cut you off there.
Okay, good. I don't know. Good move. Celine Dion's creeping around in the background here.
Celine.
Janet Jackson's still putting out stuff that's charting really well. So is Madonna. So is Prince. So is Toni Braxton. And so is Bryan Adams, who has two of the biggest singles of the year. Please Forgive Me and All for Love, which is his... What's a duet with two people? With three people? A trio?
A triet.
With his triet with Sting and Rod Stewart.
Yeah. What year are we up to?
94.
Oh, wow.
Mariah Carey keeps it in 95. She keeps it in 96. Mostly on the back of her Daydream album, which just keeps selling through over 2 years. The song Fantasy sells massively both years. It's enough to keep Michael Jackson's history at bay. In 96, we're starting to see the rise of Celine Dion is coming back into play. Alanis Morissette is happening in these 2 years. It doesn't quite get there. Seal, Kiss from a Rose, we love mentioning that on this podcast. That comes out in 95. It's not
another decade.
Not enough to unseat Mariah in my book. So she keeps it in 95, she keeps it in 96. Not for lack of trying from anyone else. Celine Dion is very close to getting it in 96. She will have her day.
She will have her day.
In 1997, when I probably could have maybe kept it in Mariah's house.
Over her shoulder.
Could have draped it around Celine. Could have given it to Janet, just points for trying. But in 1997, the biggest song of the year and the song that was just everywhere, it overtook the world. It was connected to an event that happened. So it just kind of became the thing of 1997. Elton John is the pop star of 1997 for the Candle in the Wind update.
Okay.
Is still one of the biggest selling singles of all time.
Because did he write it for Diana?
Or no, it was written about Marilyn Monroe.
He
re-released it and changed the words for Diana and played it at her funeral.
Well, that worked out well for him, didn't it?
Did he cash in? I don't know. Or was it from the heart? I think he was very close with Diana, so I think it actually was legit artistic.
Maybe he's,
you know, sentiment. Yeah.
Good on him.
But we give him the King of Pop
in 97. Titanic come out.
Ah, I'm glad you mentioned that. In 1998, a little film. Well, I think it came out at the end of 97, but
yeah,
in 1998 was the year of Celine. So her album Let's Talk About Love was number one in the US very early on in the year and got bumped from the position by the Titanic soundtrack that she was on. So she bumped herself from number one.
Was My Heart Will Go On both, or just on the Titanic soundtrack?
I don't know. I didn't look that up.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
But obviously, the Titanic soundtrack, aside from being the biggest film of all time at that stage, it was the biggest album of the year. It was at number one on the charts for 16 weeks. And My Heart Will Go On was the 13th biggest song of the year in America, 14th biggest song of the year in Australia. It was number one in Australia for 4 years. And so, yeah, Celine Dion gets it.
Okay.
Lurking in the background, Candle in the Wind was still selling. Lauryn Hill popped up. Shania Twain started to make an appearance. Now, I just need to kind of shout out to Shania Twain here. Her album, Come On Over, sold...
It was big.
It was massive.
Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
That's just one of the many songs on that.
That impressed me much.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt in...
Still the One.
In the video.
So there was singles galore on it.
Yeah, yeah. There were occasional albums in the 90s that I remember, probably in the 2000s as well, where they would just advertise the album as a TV ad. Buy this album, and then here's...
So they not do that anymore?
I don't think so. I don't watch TV, so I don't know. But you know, like, they'll have, like, the ad goes for 30 seconds, and in that ad, there's 10 seconds from the three big singles.
Yeah.
And a voiceover. Yeah. And I remember them for... Living End's first album.
Yeah, okay.
And I remember them for Celine Dion, so that Shania Twain one too.
Yeah.
And it's because I heard those so much. Now when I hear the songs, they bleed into the next one after 10 seconds.
Yeah, okay. You've got the advertising mega mix going on in your head. Yeah.
It was the same, like So Fresh, those mixes
that
they have at the end of the year as well. Anyway.
The thing about the Shania Twain album is I don't think it ever went to number one in America, yet it is the second biggest selling album of the 90s worldwide.
Wow.
It was just it sold power. In excess of like 30 million copies. It's way up there. Mm. I think the only album that sold more copies than it in the 90s was Metallica's Black Album. So there you go.
Which was the biggest metal album of all time, I would assume.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Shania doesn't get the gong, even though in 97, 98, 99 she was selling probably more records than anyone else in the world, which is weird. It's just the way it works. It was ubiquitous, but she never had a breakout year where she really dominated. It was just spread across the 3 years, I think.
Okay.
So that brings me to my final year, 1999, and it's Britney. Her first album, Baby One More Time, the single from it, it ruled the charts all over the world, and there was nothing else that really came close. Even Shania was still selling. Cher had Believe, that was her last big single.
Yeah.
We started to see J-Lo appeared, Christina Aguilera appeared, Ronan Keating went solo, but it was the year of Britney in 1999. Over to you, Johnny.
Well, it was the year of Britney, and I think it ushered in a new era for pop stars in general, I have to say.
Why? What makes you say that? What changed?
Well, I think it became a younger person's game. There's been a lot of reoccurring names throughout your list.
Yeah.
But the next several years, it was all new artists, as far as my list goes anyway. Like, I haven't got Shania, I haven't got Whitney, I haven't got Madonna. Yep. Even though these people were still putting out the occasional song that bumped into the top 10 every now and then, it was kind of a new ball game. I've let Britney Spears keep it in 2000, despite not having a really high charting single. Oops, I Did It Again was her best, most successful one that year. But I've approached this a little bit differently to you. I've gone more with a general, this is the person of the moment, rather than this person sold X amount of albums or singles.
Well, I was trying to combine the two.
Yeah.
But I was
you've just been more thorough than I have.
Yeah. So I've done more research.
Yeah. So okay. You can interject with shout-outs or challenges anytime.
Okay.
Faith Hill, I think, had the biggest album of that year. Nikki Webster, as you mentioned, came onto the scene at the 2000 Olympics opening ceremony and later released Strawberry Kisses. That's just being silly.
Faith Hill had the biggest single of the year in America. The biggest album of the year was NSYNC, but they're ruled out because they're a group.
I think Craig David started to... Oh, no, he was next year, 2001. Let's move on. Craig David. I wish he had stuck around a bit longer.
I think he was coming back, but then I don't think that happened.
Yeah, I don't know. J-Lo is also starting to do things. But
Are we in 2001 now?
Or? Yeah, we are.
So Britney had it in 2000, so she held it for 2 years running. Who takes it in 2001?
Who have I got? I think I let Britney keep it again.
Really?
What did she do in 2001? I may have made a mistake.
You may have made a mistake. I'm just trying to see. Album Britney came out towards the end of the year.
What were the big ones?
The big albums or?
Yeah. Or singles or whatever. Maybe it was J-Lo. My notes aren't as succinct as your spreadsheet.
J-Lo's album was number one.
Yeah.
For a little while. She had the song I'm Real with Ja Rule.
Oh, that's right. I was going to give it to J-Lo. She had Love Don't Cost a Thing as well that year. Anyway, it was a big year for J-Lo.
Yes, Love Don't Cost a Thing. Yeah. So she's got two songs.
So I've given it to her. I've given it to J-Lo because that was the first time I had known of her. She was pretty big. And Dido also put out her first pretty big album. I think, was it White Flag? Thank You.
No Angel,
but it had those songs on it.
Yeah,
Usher was doing things that year. Faith Hill was still trying to take on, but probably too clean cut to make it in this new era of Christina Aguilera's and Britney Spears.
Kylie doesn't rate a mention for you in 2001?
It's the World Championship. So
yeah,
I haven't
this
really...
is the one time she has a crack at the World Championship. We can't get you out of my head.
Was that in 01?
Yeah. Although it might have actually, it might have been 02 that started crack it in America, but yeah.
Okay, well, she can have the Intercontinental, but I'm giving it 02 to Avril Lavigne.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Complicated skater boy. I was in high school in this decade, so I feel like I'm qualified to say who was the person of that year, and it was Avril was definitely standing out because it was like she was almost the reaction to the pop stars like Britney and Aguilera. She was, you know, even though she's pretty much the same thing, she had this image of being a bit more, you know, anti-establishment.
Yeah, it was the manufactured anti-manufactured.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Her album was number one Australia for 7 weeks.
Mm. Very big here.
Just throw that in. I'm just going to throw in some random facts.
Thanks for
between.
That. You can be the colour commentator.
Okay, good.
2003 was the year of JT. Justin Timberlake, at the very end of 02, released the first single from Justified, which was Like I Love You, I think it was called. That was his first single.
No.
They were dancing outside the 7-Eleven. And he later that year, he had Rock Your Body, he had Cry Me a River. And he was free from the restraints of NSYNC. So,
free.
And I think he was dating Britney as well at the time. So he was just it and a bit. Beyonce needs a shout out because Destiny's Child, each of these years I've been talking about, been huge. But she also broke free that year. Crazy in Love was her big tune.
It was the fourth biggest song of the year in America.
Yeah. R. Kelly was hot. Pre-scandal.
Yeah.
Christina Aguilera as well, doing pretty big things.
Avril had a big album that year too, didn't she?
Another one.
Was it the same one? Was it an album called Let Go?
It was the same one.
Oh, it sold even more copies in Australia in 2004.
We're only in 2003.
Are we? What am I up to?
That's okay, I forgive you.
Just all over the shop here.
2004, I'm giving it to Beyonce. On the back of Crazy in Love, she had two or three singles that were, you know, top 100, and Destiny's Child was still doing a lot. So she was her own artist, but she was doing things with Destiny's Child. I think that counts for something.
Oh, right. I didn't realize there was an overlap there.
Yeah, there's a pretty big overlap.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
They were still putting out hits for another 3 or 4 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Outkast, I know that they're a group, but they started to do quite a bit. Hey Ya was huge, and they had a couple other big hits. And I feel like whenever you're looking at Outkast, you're pretty much looking at Andre because he was the public face.
Well, he was the one who was writing the pop hits.
Yeah, and he was the singer of the group.
Ooh.
Big Boy was, you know, he was essential there. And he's done some pretty cool stuff since leaving Outkast, but I digress. Guy Sebastian gets the Aussie shout out. 04 was a huge year for Australia. There was Shannon Knoll and Guy. And then you had the second crop of Australian Idol guys with Anthony Clears, The Prayer. And
is that in 04?
Yeah, it overlapped from 04 to 05.
Okay.
That, it was one of those big holiday tunes.
Just to mention, in 04, the top three albums in Australia were all Aussie albums.
Yeah.
Which and, in fact, four of the top five. So...
what were they?
Jet, Shannon Knoll, Pete Murray, and John Bellatrix.
Mm, there you go. We like our Aussie music.
Biggest album of that year in America was Usher.
Yeah.
Who did you give it to? Beyonce.
Bay.
Cool.
Yeah. I think I did.
Your notes are horrendous.
My notes are bad. There was a year that I did give it to... I wanted to give it to Usher. What was the year that... what was on that album of Usher's? Was it Burn? Sorry.
So the album's Confessions. So Confessions Part 2 and Burn were both in the top 20.
I'm going to take it back from Bay.
You're going to take it off
Bay? I'm going to do a Vince McMahon and overrule.
Oh, really? You're overruling yourself.
Usher had like four of the top 25 US singles that year, and I think he had number one and number two, and he had a collaboration with Alicia Keys or someone.
He had four songs in the top 25 of the year in America, including number one and number two.
Yeah. Sorry, Bay. Sorry, Beyonce.
Whew, heavy.
Sorry, Queen B.
Wow.
You're going to have to wait your turn.
Usher is king of 2004.
Yeah. So, 05, I'm going to shout out Black Eyed Peas, another group that's ineligible. But if there's a tag team championship belt, then they can have that one. Because that was the year, like, for as annoying as it was, My Humps and... what was the other one?
It wasn't this good started.
Don't Funk With My Heart.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Those were massive. Like, they were just crazy big. Really catchy, but pretty silly. Kelly Clarkson gets the belt for Since You've Been Gone.
Oh, okay, right.
That was the feel-good hit of the year.
And it's one of the rare times when an American Idol person has actually had an impact on the Australian charts in a really big way. Her album, Breakaway, was the second biggest album of the year in Australia, behind Missy Higgins.
Huh.
Would you count Missy Higgins as a pop star?
Nah, she's a folk artist.
Okay, all right, cool.
06, JT's back with Bringing Sexy Back.
So and we still don't know to this day where Sexy was before he, where he found it.
It
to
went
bring it
back. Away for a few years. No, it didn't. So he that like anytime JT puts out an album, it's going to be quite big. He takes a long time off in between.
I think a whole lot of acting.
Yes,
I'm a bigger fan of his acting than his music. Yeah. Although the last album he did, I thought was pretty cool.
Mm. When was that? It's not on my list.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah,
he released like two albums in the space of 2 years or something. I can't remember. They're all like 7 minute long,
right?
Jams.
So he's lost the pop edge. That's why it's not on my list.
Probably, yeah. He slipped off your radar and onto mine for some reason.
07 is Gaga.
Wait a minute. 06 is JT.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and we brought Sexy back. Okay.
We brought Sexy back.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, My Love.
Future Sex Love Sounds. Yeah. Album. Yes.
What was the other? Turnaround? Is that what it was called?
I Believe You.
You know the song?
Nope. I'm glad you get to do some singing in this episode too.
I think that's how it goes.
07, is that what we're talking? I'd probably give it to Rihanna.
Mm?
Umbrella.
Ah,
yeah. The second biggest song of the year in America and Australia. I mean, third biggest in Australia. But
does JT have a chance to hold it for 2 years?
Yeah, he had seven featured in or had seven tracks in the Billboard end. I mean, I think Bringing Sexy Back was the previous year, so you're right, but you can probably argue that he keeps it.
Okay.
Because that's a lot. I mean, Beyonce had Irreplaceable, which was the biggest song of the year in America. Rihanna had Umbrella. Gwen Stefani had Sweet Escape. Fergie had Big Girls Don't Cry. You know, they're like the top four singles in America and pretty much in Australia as well.
Okay.
But Pink put out her album I'm Not Dead, which was kind of a big deal, yeah. But yeah, I'd say that JT keeps it.
Okay, go JT.
All right, cool. So now, 2008.
2008? Let me guess. Was that the year that Beyonce put out All the Single Ladies?
Not immediately coming to the top of my list.
People I've got putting big things out that year had with Katy Perry, first appearance of note.
Oh, I Kissed a Girl, yes.
Mm.
The sixth biggest song of the year in Australia.
Adele was pretty big.
Was she?
She had a big... She had something big, according to my research.
Did she?
And Lady Gaga's Poker Face.
Yes, you're correct on that one.
Yes.
Lady Gaga's album, The Fame, came out that year.
Yeah.
And did reasonably well. You know, the biggest album of the year in America in 2008 was Alicia Keys. Which, Falling. Again, is another one that I don't think really translates over here as much.
Falling was big, but that was about 5 years earlier, I think.
Like, she's not even in the top 25 singles in Australia, and her album didn't even make the top 25 here either.
Yep. So I've given it to Gaga for being weird and everyone freaking out about how weird she was.
Yep, she did kind of shake things up.
Yeah. And probably pave the way for more weird people.
Probably.
So, 2009, we had the return of Britney Spears.
A single... Circus was one of the bigger ones of the year in the top 20, the top 30 in Australia, in America. Taylor Swift had her first big album come out in...
She did, but it was country music.
It was, okay. Pink released Funhouse, which was pretty big. Beyonce released Halo. Gaga's Poker Face really made a big impact in 2009. So it came out in 2008. She started to creep in there, but she had the second and third biggest songs of the year in America in 2009.
We'll let Gaga hold on to it for another year.
All right, cool.
And the next year is the year of Katy Perry, according to my research.
Okay.
California Girls with a U and Teenage Dream were the big tracks.
Girls.
Yeah. Right. Mm. And so it was all about her.
Yeah.
Kate, what's her name? Catherine Hudson or something?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
That's not it.
No, it is, because you wanted to get away from the fact that there was already a Kate Hudson.
Ah, there you go. 2011, I've got Adele. I'm giving her a shout out.
Yes.
Actually, I'm giving her the belt for Rolling in the Deep. It was one of the biggest songs of the year.
Well, her album 21 was the biggest selling album all around the world.
Okay.
It was like it had sales that no one had seen for a long, long time.
Can you tell me what year Beyonce's All the Single Ladies came out? Because it didn't come up.
Single Ladies, put a ring on it. Oh, wait.
Man, I asked you if it came out that year and you said no.
I couldn't see it on the list.
So it didn't chart.
So, no, I think I might have
missed
it.
That was the year that I butchered. But okay. That's because I thought that it was all about Beyonce.
Okay, so Beyonce got it. Oh, wait.
Should our tribunal go back and revoke it from Gaga in 08 because of that song?
Yes, okay. I'm going to allow this.
Okay, Beyonce, you've been awarded the belt for the first time.
Redeemed.
The first time and only time.
Okay.
My gosh.
Right, so she has 08, and then what Gaga has in 09, is that what you just said?
Gaga, and then we've given it to...
Then it was Katy Perry.
And then Adele.
In 11.
Okay, so we're up to 2012.
Yeah.
The one-hit wonders can just take the belt out of nowhere, and that's why I'm giving it to Carly Rae for Call Me Maybe.
Yeah, right.
That was the feel-good hit of the year.
Yeah.
Gaudier had Somebody That I Used to Know. Would you call that pop? I would.
Yeah, I guess.
So he gets the Intercontinental Championship. 13 was a year where...
I'm not even looking up stuff anymore.
That's okay. Cool. I've got this from here.
Okay.
2013, it's in recent memory, was the year that Miley became someone that we should know about, more than just the daughter of
Was this the year Wrecking Ball?
This was Wrecking Ball.
Right, yeah.
It was probably the year of the whole controversy with Blurred Lines, Robin Thicke at the Awards, Music Awards, whatever it was.
Oh, the twerking thing.
Yeah, the whole twerking thing. So I think she's probably reached that status by this point.
She was peak pop at that stage.
Yeah, but she doesn't get the belt.
Oh, no, okay.
She doesn't. Twist.
Right.
It's going to Lorde.
Yes.
I'm giving it to Lorde.
Cool. Because that album is so good.
Yeah.
Pure Heroin.
Yep. So...
That's the name of the album. It's not how good it is.
Now I'm questioning myself. Sorry, Lorde.
Oh, what?
Miley gets it. Lorde gets it in 2014.
Oh, okay.
Because the album came out, but the singles, like Royals charted really well in 13, but it charted just as well the next year, and so did Team and a couple other tunes. So Lorde gets it in 14. Miley gets it as well. We're sharing it around. So in 14, she's beaten away Taylor Swift.
Wait, you're giving it to Lorde in 14?
Yes.
Over Taylor Swift?
Yes.
No.
Hear me out.
Okay, go on.
Lorde was all everyone could talk about at one point. Swiftie put out 89 and Shake It Off, which was huge.
Yeah.
But I think Lorde had a full year of people talking about how good she was. She was top of the Hottest 100. As well?
Yeah, number 3 or something, yeah.
No, was it number 1?
No.
I thought she was number 1.
No.
Okay, she did really well.
She did really well, yes.
And it's this, you know, this kid from, you know, New Zealand.
Yeah.
That country. And I'm giving it to her. But in 2014, that's when 2015 is when 1989 really... got to spread its wings and fly.
So last year was the year
last year was Taylor's year.
Okay.
And that was when she did all that touring. She did all those bringing people up on stage at every single show. Here's Julia Roberts for some reason, you know. She had four singles in the top 100 or top 50 or whatever, you know. So I think that if you had to pick one of those 2 years, look, I just wanted to give it to Lorde.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Yeah, I'm happy for that to happen.
And Pharrell was the other. Oh, that was in 2014. Okay. Happy. So right. He tried to take that. That was the biggest song of the year, but he didn't get it. So even for 2015, 1989, there wasn't really anything else to talk about.
Okay. Can I just question one thing in 2012? Because I just noticed it right here on my screen in front of me. You gave it to Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yep.
Because of Call Me Maybe. And you noticed the power of the one hit one that you picked that one and that was
it. I did.
Gangnam Style came out the same year.
Yeah. But I don't feel
what
like...
What song do you think had the bigger influence on pop culture out of Call Me Maybe and Gangnam Style?
Yeah, but Gangnam Style was meme-y, if I can say that.
Yeah.
So if we're going to award that, do we not have to go back and look at Macarena and all those kind of novelty...
No, not pop stars, though. So this is a guy. This is a pop star. He happens to be from Korea.
Yeah, but I don't think he's got much of a... persona. I think he's just a weird Korean guy that does the song.
No, I'm just throwing it out there. I was just floating it. Nicki Minaj didn't come up anywhere in the equation in recent years.
On the other side of my research,
okay.
Piece of paper, I have a list of exclusions that I'll just acknowledge for continued efforts over the years.
Good. Okay. Go for
Nicki Minaj was one. Bruno Mars came up a lot, but never could quite get the belt.
Yeah.
Pink.
Yeah.
We never. Awarded, and Bieber had a really big year in 2010, but sorry dude, you ain't cool enough for the belt.
Okay,
his albums haven't done very well since that first one, surprisingly. No. The first one I looked at, it had like sold 3 million, then it was one, and the one that came out last year hasn't even cracked a million, so keep trying, Justin.
Yeah,
do you know how old he is?
He's like 21 or something.
Yeah, he's 21. That's I feel a, like he's been around. I feel like he's been around for a decade already. Is it just me?
Yeah. Well, but he was like 12 or 13 or something when he first started. So it kind of has been.
Almost. Yeah, he was 15 or 16.
Oh, okay. Time goes slow. Long.
Yeah. Time is a thing that moves.
My wife still refers to the '90s as being 10 years ago. When
why? Just you mean like anecdotally, like, oh, about 10 years ago I did this thing?
Well, yeah, no, or that, oh, that movie came out 10 years ago. No, it was in the 90s. Yeah, that's 10 years ago. No, it's not. Yeah. So, there you have it. There's an hour worth of my overly detailed notes and John's unprepared notes about the David Bowie commemorative pop star world championship.
I really hope this is our last podcast.
I hope we can redeem ourselves.
Yeah, we will. I mean, it's a pretty massive undertaking to go, here's the pop star of the year, with there's so many factors that can influence it. With, you know, you've done top albums, top singles.
Yeah, I think my research is pretty
solid. Yeah, I know, and you took like 40 minutes.
Yeah, you wrote, I have a spreadsheet here, you have one piece of
paper. Yeah, I know, but
paper.
We have a limited amount of time.
No, you could have kept rattling on, but you just didn't have the notes for it.
Yeah, well, you literally don't have time.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
You have to go.
I have to go
do whatever you do.
I got a gig. I got to go play a gig. That's where I'm going.
Okay, well, I'm going to go back and finish some news stories.
I'm going to do that too.
So thank you for listening. Let us know how wrong we are. Let us know who we missed.
What a debacle.
You can catch up with us on Twitter. Matt is @DrMattNeil, and I'm @Jono himself. Have a super terrific week.